You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 84 freaking episodes of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. From Denver, Colorado, I am John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, you may know him from the Saskatoon of Canada's incredible esports writer, incredible critical thinker on this show. He brings, you know, the stuff that we wouldn't dare think about or say. It's Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kev.
I don't know about that intro, John, but thank you very much. Yeah, it's crazy to think 84. It's not bad. 84 episodes is an unreal number. I'm thrilled. Thinking about it, we've been doing this now since shortly after Blackrock Mountain, which in Hearthstone terms feels like an eternity ago.
Oh my
it's
God.
Hard to remember what BRM release was like, but here we are still doing it, and on functionally the eve of BlizzCon 2016.
Yes, I cannot wait. We've got a lot of BlizzCon talk this week, but before we go there, last but not least, from Kansas City, it is JR Cook. Hey, JR.
Hey, John. Don't have the Cubs hat on today because it didn't come in, so my promise was not upheld because of the postal service of the United States.
I can't do it as good as the sounder.
But I do have my jersey.
I got
Let's
you,
make
Kev.
That happen.
I got
Thanks,
it.
Just
but, yeah, they're not doing so hot right now. But if they win this game tonight, then come over. If you're in the BlizzCon area, come watch it with me Tuesday and possibly Wednesday at the Hilton Bar. That's where I'll be at. Hey, if people want to watch it, the game.
Whoa,
they can
hey.
Come join me.
Oh, are we doing a Hearthstone show or is JR talking baseball again?
No, I'm talking about BlizzCon.
Fairness to JR, there won't be any Hearthstone to watch on Tuesday or Wednesday. He's got a point.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure people want to know on the Hearthstone podcast. I'm just kidding, JR. I'm giving you a hard time. Dang.
You know, the biggest thing for me with this podcast, especially lately, has been like talking to the people that listen to our show and hanging out with them because they've all been awesome. And if they want to come do that Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm all for it.
You can watch baseball. That is A-OK. A-OK in my book. All right. Well, we've got a bunch of stuff, a lot of housekeeping to go through this week. So let's go ahead and run down everything we've got going on. First and foremost, there will be no show next week. We will all still be in California. However, stay close to our Twitters. Stay close to hearthstone.blizzpro.com specifically for Hearthstone stuff. And even stay close to the RSS feed because we might be uploading some stuff there as well that is not a traditional show. We will still be at BlizzCon. So make sure, number one, to remember that. Don't go ahead and block off your Sunday evening next week to tune in live at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. And then we also have Con Before the Storm on Thursday. This is going to be pretty cool. Kevin is going to be representing Well Met on the Hearthstone panel. So for those who don't know, Con Before the Storm is one of the bigger, if not the biggest, kind of pre-BlizzCon party. It's going to be on Thursday night. It's in the Anaheim Hilton. I know that. Yep. I forget. It's two ballrooms. I forget which ones they are, but they're going to have signs plastered everywhere. So if you're in the area, you should come check it out. Amazing display of the Blizzard community at Con Before the Storm, including one of the more popular attractions is World of Podcasts. Kevin's going to be sitting in on the Hearthstone panel starting at 5:35 p.m. That's going to be moderated by Garrett Weinzerl from the Angry Chicken. You got Josh Augustine from the Happy Hearthstone, Thomas Esposito from Legend of the Innkeeper, and Chris Chan, aka Chanman V, from Value Town. So quite the group there. And then later on in the evening, I will be moderating the Overwatch panel at 8:30 p.m. It's going to be myself, Rosh from the Payload, of course. We've got Frosty Fox. We've got Veritech. And then we've also got Kevin Ellis from the Cavalry. So we've got quite the crew there as well. That's at 8:30. And if you can't come and see it live, it's going to be live streamed on the internet at alphageekradio.com. So that will be there. And they are allowing us to post the panels on our RSS feeds as well. So as long as we don't botch it, I'm sure we'll upload it there as well. If we botch it, you might not see it. So that's it. I think that's it for me. So that's it for me. Kev, what's up? What else we got?
I mean, you hit the big stuff, right? Calm Before the Storm is going to be awesome. I hope we see a ton of people out there. And obviously, if you are in the area, definitely do make a point of following all of us. John at Kicked Tripod on Twitter. Myself at Lack of Realism. JR at Eldorian. I'll try and make a point of posting stuff all throughout the entirety of the week. Photos of what's going on. You know, let you guys take a look at my Instagram account where you'll be able to see the pictures I'll post from all the esports events. And it's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's way more fun if, you know, people are showing up to hang out with us and interact. So Calm Before the Storm Thursday night at the Hilton. And then for myself, the thing I was going to just throw out again, because we've been talking about it for like a month, it feels like, but I will be casting the Collegiate Hearthstone Regionals when BlizzCon is over. So Monday and Tuesday afternoons, I want to say the show starts about 4 p.m. Pacific. I don't have the exact times yet because I still haven't seen the exact broadcast schedule. But it'll be Monday and Tuesday afternoons at the TESPA channel for Hearthstone. So it's not on the official Play Hearthstone account. It is on TESPA's stuff. I'll make a point of retweeting it, so you'll see it on my Twitter. I'll try to get some information out to you guys ahead of time so you know what to expect. But at this point, I don't know how much lead time I'm going to get either. So in general, it would just be awesome if some people tuned in to watch that. I don't know who for sure my co-host is going to be, but they've had lots of people working on that. That's Admirable did some of it. They brought Strifecrow in for a week, which was pretty cool. There's lots of people that they've brought in to work on this. So definitely tune in if you want to watch some more Hearthstone when BlizzCon gets closed out.
Awesome. Yeah, and the thing that I wanted to add was Friday at 6 p.m. is our BlizzPro meetup where we're all going to be at. So if you want to meet us then, that would work too. It's at 6 p.m. on Friday, right in between halls B and C in that little entrance way before you get into the convention center. We're going to be there for about an hour doing some recording and stuff, but also being able to meet up with you guys. And we might even have some stuff to give away. I'm still working that out right now. But once I get it worked out, I'll be tweeting it out and letting you guys know what we have. And then also, like I said before the show, if the World Series is going on, and if you want to come hang out with me and watch that, it'll probably be at the Hilton Bar Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Awesome. I will say, I know that we have some well-met stuff because we produced a fair bit last year. So I've got well-met buttons and some well-met fridge magnets and stuff just with our logo on them that we'll be able to give away. They're all just going to get given away during either the BlizzPro meetup or at Calm Before the Storm. So if you come to hang out and see the panels, we'll have some of that stuff there as well. And it would be cool. It would just be really cool for you guys to come say hi, get some free stuff, you know, whatever you guys want. Like, nothing would be happier than people just get some photos with some people who listen to the show. Cause even people like saying stuff on Twitter, like, yeah, I listened to your last show, it was awesome. Like, every time I get one of those tweets, it makes my week. And it's just so awesome to have this opportunity to meet people from all over who come together for BlizzCon.
Yeah. Awesome. We made pretty good time here. We didn't do so well on the Payload this week when we were going through all of our announcements.
We were a little more efficient here.
Yep, we absolutely did. So let's jump into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh, we've got news, but before we jump into it, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you so much for your incredible, incredible support of our show. WellMet is 100% supported by our fans at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. go ahead and head on over. We've been doing a lot of fun stuff. We actually did something cool. It was last minute, but we invited all of our patrons. We actually, on Thursday for HCT, we had Racy591 jump into Discord with us, and we had a patron-only discussion about HCT. As it was going on, Ray was pointing out the different plays that they were making, if they were good or bad. You could ask questions about what do I do here? Why was that a bad play? That's what I would have done. And he would go through and explain. It was almost like this kind of one-to-many coaching moment. It was really awesome. And we're trying to do more events like that for our patrons. So head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. I actually will have the VOD posted this week before we leave for BlizzCon, so you can go back and catch that. I recorded the audio and the video, so you can just watch that happening in real time and listen to the discussions. And it was really neat. So again, thank you, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral for supporting the show. And yeah, that's it. So this week we do have a tiny bit of news. You know that Heroic Tavern Brawl thing that we went into and discussed pretty lengthily a week or two ago, whenever that was. It's not happening before BlizzCon anymore. So Ben Brode had alluded that they were shooting for before BlizzCon. I can't remember if he ever actually went out and say, yes, this will be before BlizzCon, but definitely alluded to it. And then we have found out that it is not going to be before BlizzCon, either by design or anymore for other reasons. Any thoughts? You have a theory? All right, give me your theory, Kev.
All right, my theory is this. I do not honestly believe that this is a technical issue. The systems to make this work all exist. It's very easy to have you lock in a deck for a tavern brawl using exactly the same technology because it is just functionally constructed arena. It's an arena run. I think what they're doing is they're pushing it back to after the launch of the next set. The game gets the most interest and the most excitement out of people right after new cards release. Everyone's going to race to pre-order cards because there's probably going to be a pre-order card back, and like it's a very standard thing. We kind of know how this works by now, but it's also when there's the biggest surge in players. And not to put too fine a point on it, but a lot of people did, I think, give feedback to Blizzard on Reddit and elsewhere that the timing felt really bad. They were going to get tapped for 1,000 gold or $10 right before a new set came out, and they wanted to be able to, you know, spend that money on the new set, not on this tavern brawl that kind of looks like they're trying to gouge for extra money. And I don't buy necessarily that that was their intent, but I can see how it might have come across that way. This flips that whole thing on its ear and says, okay, instead, likely as not, historically, we expect to see them announce a new set at BlizzCon. They've basically said that in the BlizzCon schedule. We've also seen them try to tighten up the amount of time between announcement and release. So we're not going to get the announcement and have them wait and we don't get it until January. Odds are this is going to be a brand new set that comes out basically immediately because they want it in play for the November ranked season because of how HCT 2017 works. Given all of that, I think they're pushing it back till after the new set because more people will be playing, there'll be more interest, and it may actually allow them to get more money out of the Heroic Tavern Brawl as a company because there's more people playing and they'll blow through all their gold buying packs to get the new cards. Then turn around and say, well, now let's try this new tavern brawl because they're not just going to be seeing the same meta decks that everybody has been running because there's clearly, you know, five best decks. If the Heroic Tavern Brawl had run this week, you would have seen nothing but carbon copies of the deck lists being played in the Hearthstone World Championship right now. And I think that's why I think they decided to push it back and wait until the meta is a little less stable and people will be more experimental.
I have a separate theory. I also don't agree that it was a technical issue. So I agree with you on that. That's not a technical issue. But I think it's because streamers are going to be people that don't want to play this are going to go watch streamers play. And a lot of these pro players are probably going to play as well. So they're probably just waiting until after BlizzCon so that it doesn't interfere with all the HCT stuff that's going on. And that's my theory behind it.
That's okay. Actually a pretty good point. Yeah. They don't want everybody going off and watching Kriparian stream instead of the Play Hearthstone right. stream. That makes a lot of sense too.
I think it's pretty simple. I do think that there's no way Ben Brode would have at least alluded to, hey, we're going to be doing this before BlizzCon. It's not like they didn't think about BlizzCon. Like, oh yeah, never mind. We don't want to do a BlizzCon. So I actually think it probably was something technical or timing based. I think maybe it was BlizzCon opening week, the amount of traction and stuff they got, because it would have either been last week, which would have been the week that they announced it essentially, this week, which is BlizzCon opening week, or next week, which is BlizzCon week. And there's just no reason to do that. I don't know if it's all about, like, when you look at this, like, sure, money, they're a business, money is important, but I don't think that they just totally change their schedule from when they had initially said that they were going to do it because, hey, we can make more money from it. If that was a consideration, I would put it down the list quite a bit. I do want to say something, though. And that is, for everybody freaking out about Blizzard or the Hearthstone team changing their mind or running into a technical issue and not doing what they'd promised, shut up. Just shut up. We've been asking for the dev team to communicate with us and let us know what's going on, and we will not get that if we act like spoiled little brats every time that something a developer says or alludes to doesn't happen right along those timelines. Or you get the Jeff Kaplan approach of one sentence that is led up to with like four or five, well, we're working on this, but I just want to say that this isn't set in stone. And that there are a lot of moving pieces here, and you have to preface it with so many, like, just relax.
Series of disclaimers.
Yeah,
like,
just relax. We got communication from a development team, from the developers, which we've been asking for. It was honest, and when it didn't happen, they were honest about it again. You know, not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, and to your point, right, like, they've been really good lately. They've been more active on community sites, on social media. They've had better engagement with people. They're actually actively answering questions on Twitter and Reddit, trying to get out in front of it. I saw Dean Ayala made an Ask FM the other day and was like, yeah, fire me off Hearthstone questions. If it's something I can answer, I'll try to. Like, that's something that a year ago we would have been like, yeah, it'll never happen because it just wasn't on the table. It wasn't how they were behaving. So to see that kind of stuff, I think we have to actively be out there telling people, look, everybody on the Hearthstone team cares about this game as much, if not more, than we do, obviously. It's something they're heavily invested in. Give them the benefit of the doubt occasionally. Like, yeah, obviously, if you're unhappy with something, you should tell them that you're unhappy and why, because they do need honest feedback. Don't take that the wrong way. But sometimes honest feedback is, we appreciate you taking the time to tell us that you have made a change. That's good feedback, is that we appreciate hearing it. We maybe don't like that they pushed something back, but don't tell them that we don't want to hear it or that they should have just plowed ahead. Like, that's how you get bad, unfinished things and bugs. And like, this is perfect. This is exactly the best possible outcome. They're doing something that they think is right, and they're telling us what they're doing and why.
Bingo. That's a bingo. Yeah, I saw a couple Reddit threads where it's like, you know, if Blizzard is going to go out and say stuff about what's coming up, they need to make sure that they deliver on their promise.
Downvote those people. Downvote those people.
Nothing was promised.
The bottom.
Nothing was promised.
Even if it was, I don't care. I get everybody should get and understand. Everybody works with deadlines. Most deadlines get hit. Some deadlines get missed. It happens.
Ghostcrawler promised me a pony. Like, whatever. It's that.
Still waiting on that dance studio. It was on the box.
You never bring that up? No.
It was on the box. So, anyways, just relax a little bit.
Or the appear offline feature.
None of that.
The feedback. Anyways, the joke, and we can joke about it because we get it. We get it. And I think, honestly, I think Blizzard can kind of joke about it too. They've joked about Dance Studio before. They've joked like, oh, didn't get that in. And well, I think it's
such a minor thing in the grand scheme of things. Like if Blizzard came out to tomorrow and was like, yeah, we just have the Dance Studio laying around. We just decided it was a bad idea. Like that would be fine. And that's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. But they've had to cancel real projects and have real problems with major development. I mean, look at Titan, look at StarCraft Ghosts, look at all these things over the years where they've had to can massive projects with tens of thousands of man hours into them. And here we are like, guys, why are they giving us this thing that we're going to get 2 weeks later than they might have thought they might have originally been able to, maybe? Yep. What is that? You have no, like, the people who give that kind of feedback online are just looking to start a fight. That's all that
and
is.
And you're ruining it for the rest of us who would just rather... We just want to hear from Dean and Young and Ben Brode with what they're working on. We talk about Hearthstone as a part of like our weekly, like we set aside hours a week to talk about Hearthstone. A lot of it is speculation. We're okay. I just hope that, number one, don't be that person. Don't be that person. Understand when it's a way to give feedback and how to give that feedback. If you're unhappy that, you know, they said that they're going to do something, they didn't do it. There's ways to navigate that conversation. I think there's good feedback there, but the feedback is Blizzard owes us this, or I better get, someone said they should get free packs.
What?
Duh.
I have no words. Good. Anyways. What? So stop that thing that you're doing. What are we going to call this type of person? Greedy Greg. Greedy Greg. Greedy Greg, the Gadgets and Goblin.
Oh, no, way too far.
Nope, that's it. Greedy Greg, good. The Gadgets and Goblin. Don't be a Greedy Greg. There it is. Show note. Write it down. Put it in the Slack before I get. Don't be a Greedy Greg. All right, what else we got going on? Oh, there's been a big thing going on this week. It's been the BlizzCon opening week, and we have our top 8 bracket that we're going to be seeing in 5 days. This is exciting. So let's switch on over here. 5 days until this happens. So let's do a rundown here. So in the top bracket, we've got Jason Zhao and Hamster. In the second bracket, Amnesiac and Pavel. And then in the lower brackets, we have Chianzu and Cydonia versus, and then Hot Meowth versus Dr. Hippie. So you're going to notice some exclusions from this list. No Nyman, no Tice, and no Handsome Guy. Our top 3 picks, not in there. But I think...
Where's the fail horn sounder?
That was pretty good. Anyways, that's the groups. First, before we talk about these games coming up, we just need to say at Well Met, we pride ourselves in being able to call new features and new content. However, we have never
astonishing accuracy.
Like next to none in the podcasting world for Hearthstone right now. But when it comes to who's going to win events, I don't think we've gotten anything right since ATLC last year when I called G2 at that time Nihilum. So
yeah, our track record has not been very strong.
Last year, I picked 5 out of 8 to go into the final 8. I had Tice to win it all, which didn't happen. This year, not even close. I think I got 2 right total.
I got, you know what, 4.
I feel like some of this is a byproduct of everybody being so focused on trying to pick one person to follow. And like, I know why Blizzard did that. And I know that they're trying to make it interesting to pick a player to cheer for and kind of follow through the tournament. But I feel like they maybe went about it in a way that turns people off from following the tournament once their person is out. And that sort of is like an unfortunate byproduct of this, because I know a lot of people are like, my guy's out, whatever. And now they don't care because they don't get their 3 extra free packs or whatever. But I mean, the games have been incredible. Like for people who actually care about Hearthstone and aren't just in this for a couple of free digital goodies, this is some of the best Hearthstone I've watched in years. Like, these games have been incredible to watch.
I want to go back to something you said, and then I want to argue with what you just said there. But the first thing I wanted to say is, do you think that those people who just are in it for the packs, do you think that they would have watched it or paid nearly as much attention to it if there was no incentive at all?
Not necessarily, but I the comparison I draw is to how Blizzard is handling their other esports properties right now, right? For most of them, they've done stuff where they, you know, they're trying to encourage Twitch integration. They're trying to encourage people to watch the streams. If you tune in and you watch WoW Arena, you get a title. If you tune in and you watch, you know, the Heroes Grand Championship, you get portraits and stuff. Like, they're trying really hard to get people invested in participating that way. Whereas in Hearthstone, there are probably, I would guess, actually a fairly significant number of people, judging by the number of people who play Hearthstone versus other people who watch a given stream, who logged onto the website, clicked on a player to get some free stuff, and then promptly turn around and never actually tuned into the streams. So it might have been nice if they had done something where it was like, you know, you can choose a champion to get a free pack for each round they advance, but maybe have that first free pack, the one that everybody gets, be attached to actually tuning in to watch the stream, not just having
kind of like they do with the World of Warcraft arena things for
same thing. Exactly.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Is it just, it doesn't feel like they're encouraging people to watch it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on what their end goal is, right?
Like, people who want to watch it will tune in and watch it. Obviously, there's people they don't need to incentivize, and that's better anyway. Like, they shouldn't have to bribe people to tune in and watch the game. But this program, given how they handle some of their other stuff, feels like maybe it, like a bit of a swing and a miss on that specific piece of feedback. That's it.
Yep. Or even just stuff to expound on last time. They tried it this time. It was obvious successful.
Exactly.
What can we expound on? I don't want to say it was like a swing and a miss because it's infinitely better than what we had last year. But
they're probably going to give away millions of TGT packs. There's probably going to have been, you know, hundreds of thousands of additional players who got on the website, you know, logged in, participated in this program, and will log back into the game to collect their packs after BlizzCon. Like, it, by all player engagement metrics, this is probably a phenomenal success.
Absolutely. Now, I need to say another thing, another small PSA.
Right?
Yeah. No. Then we'll go there because I forgot what you even said. I'm already over it. But hey, Kev, Red Bull buddies. Nice. All right. There we go. Sorry. Anyways, if you are one of the people who thought it was appropriate to tweet to your player who lost,
oh man,
anything negative at all that could not have been in any way interpretive as constructive, shut up. I'm saying
so
it.
So disgusting.
Come on, guys. At least I can say this from the people that I know listen to Well Met. None of you guys did it. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of our Well Met listeners for not being those people. But come on. Come on.
Riggs.
I didn't win a single pack. I win a single pack, and I just, I just go, you know what, Nyman? I'm sad because I wanted you to win. Not that I didn't get free packs that rotate out a standard in 2 months.
The packs are supposed to be a nicety. They're not supposed to be something people expect. If everyone, if the distribution of selections were equal, 15 out of 16 people would not be getting packs, right? Like, that's just the way that things work, because the optimal outcome is that, like, less than half of people are going to get half the number of packs. It's just a math problem. And if you're not on the winning side, that's okay. But don't blame the players who are in there. Like, the people who got eliminated before the round of eight, the people who are out now, that's the difference between making $25,000 and $50,000 at this tournament. So they lost 25 grand. You lost a pack of TGT cards that you can go buy for $1.95. Like, calm down. They're having a worse day than you are. Yep. Don't pile on.
Simmer down now. Yep. Anyways, sorry. That was the other thing. And then Kevin, I disagree with what you said earlier. I think probably
that's
let's talk about,
yeah.
let's talk about this bracket here. So we're going to do our well-met picks again because we need to redeem ourselves.
Really, maybe we can do better with
really bad. Field. So whatever we pick, if there's a thing to like get more packs by picking the top eight, if there's a thing, pick the opposite of what we pick here on this show and you should be okay, good to go. So let's take this first match, Jason Joe and Hamster. Now, notably, something we touched on last week, and I just want to reiterate, Hamster's decks. What the heck? What the heck is he doing? He's winning. That's what he's doing.
He's the only player in the tournament who brought Paladin and Priest, which everybody said was like a terrible decision. We said that it was probably like on the balance, looking at how it performs in typical circumstances by like simple math, right? It probably shouldn't win. The problem is that we're looking at that math based on its matchups against the entire field, not against like narrowly targeted decks. And we're looking at those numbers based on total performance relative to the entire player base. So yes, across the entire player base, Priest and Paladin are underperforming because they're very difficult decks to pilot at a high technical level and play correctly. What things you choose to entomb make a huge difference. When you do or don't utilize your resurrect effects makes a huge difference. Like, these are things that are very difficult to do correctly for optimal outcomes. You got to play 3, 4, 5 turns ahead of yourself. And I would guess the average person at rank 20 simply can't. I can't play that well. I know I can't. So he's making it work. His last game, right? His last round in the decider in Group B, he beat BB Gun Gun 4-0. He didn't drop a game. Like, he looks really good. And yes, he got knocked into the loser's bracket by Chansu. He narrowly got Naaman in 7 games. It went to game 7. But then he flattened BB Gun Gun, like just made him look silly and rolled through into the top 8.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, Hamster was. I really enjoyed watching what he did with Priest and Paladin. I mean, he was just making the right calls. And to the point where BB Gun Gun was like visibly like shaken. Like, and I think that's another reason why, because he definitely misplayed a lot after that second game, or even in that second game. And you can tell that it was like the pressure had really gotten to him, unfortunately.
But you know what? Like, you have to celebrate Hamster's success, right? You have to look at where he is now and think he's the only player who opted to bring these offbeat decks. And that's something that actually has worked out well. Like, when I cast at HCT back in the winter prelims, that was why I picked Chess Dude, was I just wanted to cheer for the one guy, the only guy out of 120 something people who had brought Priest. And then he made it. He made it to the seasonal championship. Like, that was crazy. This is exactly the same thing. I wrote Hamster off before he ever played a game because he brought Priest and Paladin. And now I'm looking at it being like, this guy knows something I don't, because he's making it work and he's making it look really, really powerful.
Yeah. So in this first match, then, are you taking Hamster, Kev?
I think you have to, not because I think it's necessarily like he's the better player, but I'm just going to root for him. Like, he's the underdog now. He's making something crazy work. He's the only person that really brought a totally unique lineup. Nothing would be cooler than to see him go the distance, right? Maybe he gets knocked out in the quarters or the semis, but I want to see him go further. I would love to see him go to the semis, the finals. That would be awesome. So yeah, I'm going to cheer for him. I'm not saying that's the correct decision mathematically, but I like his odds.
Okay. So you're cheering for him. So when I asked, who do you think is going to win? You said I'm cheering for him. Okay, so you think you're Hamster. Okay. Okay. Just making sure there's no hedging bets on well met.
Write it down.
JR is the resident historian, so I'm sure he can get that written down for us. JR, who are you picking here?
I've gotta go with Hamster because he is my favorite player in the lineup right now. Just because of the way that I saw him play and the decisions that he was making. Like, he looked very good, in my opinion. So, I did not get to see Jason Zhu play, because it was during, the work week, and I missed all of those games because I was at work. So I didn't really get to see how, he played, but he did go 2-0 and advance, you know, to the winner's bracket. So he's a really good player as well. I just really liked what I saw from Hamster in the plays that he made, and I'm curious to see what lineup he decides to bring to the top 8, because they can bring completely different decks. And yeah, I'm curious if Hamster will bring something different or if he's going to play conservatively.
So people know all the way down the bracket, that's how this works, right? Is the top player listed came out of their group 2-0, and then the next player came out 2-1. They came out of the deciders. And no one is back matched up against someone from their group. Everybody, like the bracket basically sorts up to down, so they won't see the same player. Like if the two players came out of the same group, they can't hit each other again until the final.
Right. So great things. So for me, I'm actually going to go with Jason. And the reason why, besides we can't all agree, and then we can't all be wrong, is...
Oh, you're solving the problem by making sure that someone is right.
There you go. I'm nice. Doing a couple things here, Kev. But the Good real reason why out. Is Jason came out of Group A 2-0. Group
A... And that
A,
was the tough one.
That was a stacked group. And so the fact that he's coming out of it and is doing that, it was with Handsome Guy, Tice, and Cydonia. He's coming out as the 2-0 winner. I think that's really impressive. And while in my heart, I'm cheering for Hamster, I think that Jason is going to win. He had such strong play and surprised all of us on the show at least, because none of us picked Jason to go 2-0 in that Group A. So that's who I'm picking in Group A. Let's jump down. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think this does circle a little bit back to the Western bias thing we talked about on the last episode, right? Like, we didn't know enough about him before to really understand. And I think we all probably would have put him at the bottom of Group A originally, just looking at what we knew about those players going in. Now you're like, oh, wait, nope, never mind. This guy's a powerhouse.
Yep, he played really well, and the people who know him, so I did not know this, but Ray was actually in his practice group for quite a while and was talking about some of his practice habits and how he thinks about the game. Also gave me a newfound respect for Jason that I didn't have last week. I didn't have that information. So going on to Group B, we've got Amnesiac, and Pavel. We've got USA versus, I forget where he is. It like Ukraine? I thought it was. Anyways, he's... It's
Ukraine, yeah. Or Russia, yeah.
I think it's Ukraine, because I think he's from the same country that...
You thinking RDU?
Kalento.
Oh, Kalento, yeah.
I think that's Ukraine, right? Anyways, sorry for the sidetrack. So we've got a little bit of a match here. I got to go with my boy Amnesiac because, hey, USA all the way. I think he's going to go all the way. Amnesiac is my picked champion. The level of confidence that he had when he was in those interviews after his games, the dude was talking 3, 4, 5 turns ahead. He understands the game so well and thinks about it so intensely and uniquely. I don't think that right now, I don't think that there's anybody who can outplay Amnesiac at his best. I'm going to say he's, in my opinion, the best player in the world right now. And I think he deserves a BlizzCon championship. So I'm going to take him. And I think he's gonna do it well, like 4-2, well. What do you think, Kev?
I mean, I think for the most part you're right. I think Amnesiac has a lot of advantages coming into this. He's one of the only people in the top eight now who's part of a regular team, has a major like backing in terms of salary, sponsorship. He obviously he's young, he's a student, but I think what it comes down to is his ability at this game is only getting better over time. He's playing against people who've had more years to be, you know, further along, understand games and game theory and the math better. And it's never mattered. Like from the day he became a relevant person in the Hearthstone scene, he's always been incredibly good at the game. And in a way that, like you say, is surprising because he is thinking so far ahead and he can speak to what kinds of decisions are optimal for, you know, playing to his outs and how he wants to play the game. It astonishes me because I think a part of me just can never be that focused on Hearthstone, right? Like in my life, it's like, even when I'm playing Hearthstone, I'm like, oh, but I got bills I got to worry about. Like, and then he's just in that game. It's all there. He blocks everything else out. And the level of play that results from that is unbelievable. So I would be shocked if he doesn't win. Having said that, he is playing against Pavel, who was the highest rated player in the world based on like pro player ELO coming into this, right? Because it was him, right? He was number two right below Zixo coming into this tournament. So you have to give Pavel credit. It's not like Pavel's going to be an easy win for him, but I think
by no means.
Yeah. Like on the top side of the bracket, I see Amnesiac going to the final. I do. But I think he's going to have to really work for it against somebody like Pavel, because Pavel's not going to make mistakes.
Yeah. And this a little bit reminds me of the Tice Oskaka match of last year. Where,
in a way, eh? Yeah.
You know, Tyson Oskaka meant in the semifinals, not the quarterfinals, but it was the same thing where when we were talking about it last year, we both kind of felt that whoever won that game or that match would be the one to ultimately take it. And I would say, though, if Pavel wins, I think Cydonia is going to be really tough for him. But that's going down the road a little bit.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah. Who do you take here, JR?
I feel like it's a complete coin flip because both are really good. And I'm Amnesiac might have the edge because of his confidence. And but Pavel did something that is very, very difficult to do. And that was the reverse sweep to even get into the top eight.
No doubt. He was down 3-0.
Right. So like those are like on a big level like that, to be able to come back like that, it you know, that takes a lot of guts and a lot of really paying attention and not getting down on yourself when you are down. And that's a really big, important trait to have. I'm not sure if Amnesiac, if he got down, if he would be able to do the same, even though he does have a lot of confidence.
Because he's never been so down, because he's so consistently good.
So it's one of those things, if Amnesiac pulls out ahead early, he has a good chance of winning, but never count Pavel down. But if Pavel gets out early, I'm not sure if Amnesiac will be able to come back. So my coin flip, I'm going to go with Amnesiac overall. But that's how I view this to go.
And I think you could argue, Jer, I think you made a really good point. I think you could argue that those nerves and getting down might have been one of those contributing factors which caused Tice to lose his his series.
Yeah.
Because
that's fair. Yeah,
you could definitely tell that there was some emotions there that, you know, Tice, when he's level-headed or in the zone, is, you know, again, next to none in the world. But we've seen him in the past get emotional, get flustered, and it really affect his play. So,
and Amnesiac's still really young. That if he does get down, how is he going to react? So we'll just have to see.
He also is a three sport athlete, though. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, you know, stuff. So, I mean,
very much has the mindset for it.
You would think that he would have some sort of mindset to where if it's not going right, that he should be able to. But we'll see what that mental fortitude looks like.
I mean, I think you've seen it on display previously. He's a very humble winner. Like, he doesn't seem to be a super emotional player as a general rule. And having the humility to be really just calm and cool when you win, I think is more indicative of his emotional maturity than if he feels bad when he loses. I mean, fundamentally, everybody feels bad when they lose, and just containing that is, you know, a skill. But to also be able to just, you know, keep calm and carry on when you win, I mean, he's done a really great job of that every time we've seen him on any kind of stage up to this point.
Yep. Yes, I would agree with that. Well, let's go on. So all three of us are taking Amnesiac here, right? Okay. Yep. Yeah. So nobody is going to play the devil's advocate on this one. Although JR did say it was a coin flip for him.
It feels like a coin flip.
So we're going to put JR in the Pavel.
Has the edge.
But if Pavel wins, then you can say, well, I flipped a coin. So JR's, I see what you did there.
Insurance. Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the top bracket. In the lower bracket here, we've got Xiansu and Cydonia. And this is interesting. Both players, not super, super popular. Cydonia, though, definitely has gained some popularity over the last, I would say, 5-6 months. And he's definitely going to be my pick. I got to follow Ray on this one. And hearing about all the preparation and stuff that they've been doing, Ray and I have been working on a little side project for about a month right now. And what's been causing us to take so long getting it finished is the amount of time that they are practicing and preparing for BlizzCon. So, like, the amount of time that they've been preparing together, I hope I can say that now, has been incredible. So I really think that Cydonia is prepared, and I think he's played well, and I think that he is going to be my first bottom, or I guess 2-1 going into the top 8 winner, because I picked Amnesiac and Jason for the top 2, which were both 2-0. So he's going to be my pick, I think, in this one. What do you guys think?
For me, I'm like, when I was looking at this, I figured either Amnesiac or Pavel would probably go to the finals, and I believe that Cydonia on the bottom side will go there as well. So obviously my pick's going to be Cydonia in this. And maybe it's a little bit biased because I did get to see Cydonia play this week, and all of these like players that went to the winner bracket, I didn't get a chance. So I didn't get a chance to see Chanzu play. So I didn't, you know, he did go 2-0, but Cydonia came out of that group A as well, which was, and you know, he was able to beat Handsome Guy twice, and he played Tice as well, didn't he? Or am I incorrect? Or did he just play Handsome Guy twice in advance?
He played Handsome Guy well, he would have had to play 3.
Wait, yeah, Chiancy? So it was Handsome Guy twice and
Cydonia
Tice. So he beat them, you know.
Right.
Or
yeah, he
one and one, or I don't remember now. Anyway, he beat Handsome Guy twice, and Handsome Guy was someone that we picked to possibly be able to go all the way in the tournament. So the fact that he was able to beat that is pretty impressive to begin with. So I believe that gives him an edge as well to have a lot of confidence going in as well into this top 8.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So taking Cydonia, who are you taking here, Kev? You have to pick Chiancy, but who are you taking?
So devil's advocate, since we're doing that, Cydonia beat Handsome Guy twice. That's how he made it out of the group stage. Yeah. He beat Handsome Guy twice. And you have to look at both sides of that, right? Handsome Guy didn't necessarily make the correct choices in terms of which decks he played for which games. He got blown out by Cydonia. So it wasn't like those games were, like, it wasn't like a close series. It wasn't like they went toe-to-toe and there was a bunch of back and forth as they slowly got sort of pushed back onto their weaker decks over the course of a series. Like, it just happened to be that Cydonia rolled through Handsome Guy and outplayed him. I don't think that's necessarily indicative of a player who's going to go the distance. Coming into the tournament, I saw a bunch of statistical analysis on the deck lists from the round of 16, and Chiancy had the best lineup against the field. So he was the guy whose choices, right, in terms of classes, decks, archetypes, tech choices, looked the best on paper to actually go and make it through, and he did go 2-0. He's the stronger player on paper in every regard in this pairing. I think it's probably the most important pairing in the round of 8. I think it's likely that this determines which player on the bottom side goes to the final. But I think Chiancy was, you know, we're talking about, we know about Cydonia's preparation. We know that Cydonia did all this work. I think it's naive to assume that Chiancy hasn't done as much or more, right? Like, all of these players have access to that level of practice, that level of training, those kinds of opportunities to prepare. So I'm going to say Chiancy is given all of that, also a player who's, you know, his technical analysis of the field and what his opponents will bring actually makes him the favorite here.
Right. Well, something to keep in mind, though, too, is that these decks will change or can change going into the top 8, right? So Chiancy may have had the best decks going into the top 16. It's not necessarily a guarantee that we're going to see it in the top 8.
No, it's not. But I think that the fact that he was able to correctly predict what people would bring to the round of 16 that way and play the field and win, right? He went 2-0. I think you got to give the guy a lot of credit for that.
Absolutely. I hope we're not taking away any of the accolades from these players by picking one over the other. Because it really just comes down to coin flip. Just kidding. For us, though, mostly coin flip. And we're really bad at winning the coin flip. So, okay. So 2-1 Cydonia. And then the last pick here, we've got Hot Meowth and Dr. Hippie. This was really interesting for me. I expected Dr. Hippie to walk away from that group pretty well. We had, this was the second group, right? Or not second group. Group C was Amnesiac and Dr. Hippie. And I think we all picked Amnesiac or Dr. Hippie to kind of walk out, didn't we? And then, so it makes sense, I guess. He had a really tough group, but I think Dr. Hippie, if he was in group B or D, I think he would have walked away 2-0. So I think just because he had Amnesiac in there, who is an amazing, amazing player, is the only reason he walked out of that, out of the group stages 2-1. So I'm going to go with Dr. Hippie on this one. Hot Meowth played really well, though. Played really well, but I'm still a believer in the Dr. Hippie. Kev, what do you think?
This is tough, man. Really tough. These are two very, very talented players. They both had really, really impressive runs. Hot Meowth, I think just like, super, super talented player. We've seen him be really successful. I think on paper by results, I would favor Hot Meowth, but in practice, looking at their play from watching the opening week, Dr. Hippie looks really good. Like Dr. Hippie was one of the people who, you know, even just watching his matches over the course of HCT over the year, like you always knew he was incredibly good at analyzing what was going to happen, making the mathematically correct choices, playing to his outs. He doesn't have the same level of results in my mind, but he's probably the better technical player. So as much as I have a lot of confidence in Hot Meowth, and I know he was the one who did better, right? Like he was, again, on paper, the player who did better here. He came out of his group 2-0. I think Dr. Hippie is the player I have to side with here. Like I like his play. I like his style. I feel like he's more likely than anybody in this bracket, in this top eight. I think Dr. Hippie is the one who's the most likely to take like meaningful risks in what he brings for decks and try to just sort of mind game next level the meta. And that could pay off brilliantly, right? So I'm going Dr. Hippie here.
Okay. Okay. JR, what do you think here?
I'm also having a tough time here with deciding. So I was actually just looking up the groups real quick because I was trying to remember what group that Hot Meowth was in. And it looks like, okay, so he was in group D with Omega Zero.
Right, and he beat Omega Zero 4-3 and Pavel 4-1.
Right, yeah, so I wanted to look that up because I was like, I think he was in a really tough group if I remember correctly. And looking at that, he was. Like, this was like the second biggest group other than group A, and I didn't actually pick Hot Meowth to come out of this. I had Omega Zero and Pavel, and the fact that Hot Meowth went 2-0, yeah, the fact that Hot Meowth went 2-0, I mean, he's playing very well right now. And Dr. Hippie, like, even though he did really, really well, and I watched him play, I don't know if I can give him the edge right now. So I'm going to have to go with Hot Meowth. Right,
that's fair. I think that's fair.
Because of the play style that, just because of what he did in the group stage.
Dr. Hippie did go 2-1, but he was 9-9 for his matches. He's the only player to qualify for the top eight with 50% wins. Everybody else significantly above that. The second quote unquote worst was Pavel, who went 9-7, and then Jason went 8-6. So I think that's something that's important to consider. Although I would say, outside of a few turns, I can't, looking back at Dr. Hippie's play, I really can't remember any plays where I was just like, ooh, that was a misplay, or he wasn't thinking through that one. They were very, very strong plays from Dr. Hippie. So I do think that this is going to be a close one. This smells like a 4-3 matchup to me.
It's probably the tightest of them, right? Like, in terms of the two players being evenly matched, I don't think there's one where it feels closer than these two.
Yep. I would totally agree. Okay, so then let's pick our champions here. So let's pick the one who we think is going to be crowned the world champion, win $250,000, get the awesome trophy. And if history serves to mean anything, we'll have them on our show in about a year and a half. Is who are we going to take for that one here? Kevin, I'll let you go first. Who's your pick?
Honestly, we talked all these players up. They're all talented. Frankly, it could be any of them. It could depend on a whole bunch of variables that we don't have access to. But honestly, I'm going to go Amnesiac. I think that for a variety of reasons, okay, he's among the best prepared players. He's young and at a point where he can make this a huge priority in his life, make a whole career out of it. He can spend his entire adult life till he retires at the age of 35 playing professional Hearthstone, right? I think he's going to be the one to go to the distance. Plus, honestly, there's a tiny part of me on the inside that thinks that's the best story, right? In terms of looking back on it, what a cool thing for him to have been kind of in and out, up and down, on a team, off a team. Everything's just kind of doesn't look like it's going to pan out. And then it just all comes up Milhouse, and Amnesiac walks away with $250,000 before he graduates from high school.
It all comes out. Everything's coming up Milhouse. Right? I love that Simpsons reference. Kudos to you, sir. Who do you think he plays in the finals?
Chiantzu.
Okay.
I think it's an Amnesiac Chiantzu final that Amnesiac takes 4-2 for what it's worth.
Okay. JR, who are you picking here?
So I'm going to name three guys here. No! And I'm going to give the reasons. Don't jump on me yet, John.
I think that eight players are going to make it out of the top eight. They're all going to place in the top eight.
Let me explain.
Kevin prefacing everything with, well, technically any player could win here.
Let me explain this. So okay. I think the favorite is going to be Amnesiac. I think he is a clear favorite to win this. However, he's not the one that I think will end up winning. I'm going to have to go with Cydonia. I think he's going to end up being the one that's going to take it. So I don't think he's necessarily the favorite, but I think he's going to end up being the one that's going to take it. However, I'm going to be rooting for Hamster because right now he's my favorite player.
Hamster 2016.
Yeah. But I'm going to pick a Cydonia as I think he's going to do it, but I do concede that Amnesiac is probably the favorite.
So do you think it's Cydonia and Amnesiac in the finals?
Yeah, if that ends up, even though I did pick Pavel to go, but that coin flip, right?
So that's really four.
Amnesiac, Pavel,
you're up to four now. Cydonia. You want to try to find a way to squeeze in the other four players in?
All right.
Are you sure?
It's going to be a tie. They're going to have to play. They each have to play a deck. They'll take turns.
This is awful. All right. So
I'll be excited.
I do think that Amnesiac takes the top bracket for sure. I want to say Cydonia, but because JR has said that, I'm going to say Dr. Hippie. So I think we're going to see Amnesiac, Dr. Hippie again, which is going to be a rematch from their first game where Dr. Hippie did not do so well. I forget how they did total. They did.
Amnesiac was 4-1, wasn't it? It was a pretty decisive.
Right. It was 4-1. Yep. I knew it was. I can't remember if it was 4-1 or 4-2. It was a decisive series, and the restraint that Amnesiac showed in the Hunter Mirror is one of the most impressive Hunter Mirror series I had ever seen. He just, oh man, it was amazing. Go back and watch that. That's probably one of my favorite series. I just love watching Amnesiac play because I think he thinks about the game so, so brilliantly. But yeah, so that's it. And I'm gonna have Amnesiac though. Take it all the way. I think he's my go-to. He hasn't given me a reason to not believe that he's going to win. I can't remember the last time I've watched him not win. And that's a big thing. So yeah.
Do you think there's any surprises? Like, do you think we see somebody show up with a super unconventional lineup, or is it just gonna be five people who show up with mid-range shaman, Malagos, druid, choice of warrior?
Hamster's definitely not, right? So we know that for sure.
I
don't think
Hamster will know. I still like.
I think Jason.
Could be Dr. Hippie?
I think Jason, because he knows he's facing Hamster, and Hamster might be bringing some kind of odd decks. I think we might see Jason. Maybe, yeah. I think we might see Jason try to tech that first matchup. I think he might feel that. In my opinion, I don't see a world in which Hamster beats Amnesiac or Pavel. I just don't. So I think Jason kind of knows that. And so it feels kind of bad to know that you lost to somebody who probably doesn't have a great chance to win the next match. And I think so. He's thinking, I can play it at the Amnesiac or Pavel level. And I think that might cause him to think about his decks a little bit differently going through that first round. And he could be a wild card. He could definitely be a wild card. We haven't seen a lot from him. We don't know a whole lot about him. He 2-0'd the strongest group. It's going to be an interesting one.
And
for
the biggest
sure.
thing about that matchup too, is they're both from the same region, so they will likely know how they're going to play.
Very well, that could be.
They're going to know each other a lot more than we do. That's for
that's
sure.
That's the only pairing that's like that, hey? In the first round, it's the only pairing where they're both from the same region.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. A lot of Asia represented, right? Those are all Jason, Hamster,
Omega's out.
Are the three representing three. Asia?
So two from China and one from Asia Pacific.
Right.
Yeah, you got Pavel and Dr. Hippie from EU, Amnesiac Cydonia from NA, and Hot Meowth. Hot Meowth is also NA.
Yep. NA pulled out strong on this one. I'm really proud. Really proud of our NA brethren here. USA. USA. All right. Sorry, Kev. Sorry you had to hear that again. Okay, well, we've got more stuff going on than just BlizzCon our winner predictions, but what we think we're going to see from the Hearthstone team at BlizzCon. Now, let's take a second and say congratulations to Ben Brode, who became a father this week. Yeah, that's amazing. Good enough.
That's his second one.
Yep.
There's a lot of that happening right now too. A lot of folks at Blizzard who just had kids very recently. A lot of people even on the Hearthstone team with young kids now, hey?
Yep.
Because Yong's got a son that isn't all that much older.
Yeah. Just a year or two.
Yeah. Cause Yong's son was born, like just shortly after a major Hearthstone event last year, I thought. So
sure. Yeah. Papa Brode and Uncle Yong are
Uncle Yong.
Uncle Yong. So big congratulations, but that does mean that Ben Brode will not be at BlizzCon this year. So that's a bummer. I was too nervous to shake his hand and say hello last year. So I was hoping to this year. I won't get to. I'm sure I will someday. But big congratulations to Ben Brode. All right, guys. So obviously at BlizzCon, it is typical that every game announces something at BlizzCon, and with all the stuff we've had leading up to BlizzCon with these gadgets and gazettes or whatever they're called. What are they called?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it gadgets and gazette? Oh, I'm so smart. we've got some stuff leading up here. So let's speculate. Let's speculate a little bit. JR, I'm going to let you go first here, so that way Kevin has to go last.
I'm JR's precognizant predictions can continue to be 100% on point.
Yeah, it's true. This is how we let you just tell the world what we're going to see. We'll just tell us what we're going to see next week.
I'm actually having the toughest time with the Hearthstone one. I mean, we're going to have an expansion, right? Some kind of an expansion. And Blizzard's been teasing.
Bold stuff prediction. You're starting off strong.
John? Come on. Look at this face. Blizzard's been teasing at the Gadgetzan stuff, right? So,
yep.
What's it going to be? Is it going to be... A lot of people are thinking it's going to be a major blown expansion like TGT or Goblins versus Gnomes. Some people are expecting it to be something to the effect of... Similar to Goblins versus Gnomes, maybe bringing back mechs or something like that. Very goblin-like. I'm not going to sit here and try to predict the actual expansion name. I mean, it's obviously something to do with Gadgetzan or in that area. But I don't think it's going to be a major expansion. I think we're looking at another adventure mode coming out. And it looks like they're going to be coming out with similar characters, sort of like what they did with League of Explorers. I think it's going to be similar to how League of Explorers a theme sort of is. So we're going to see some brand new characters, maybe that reporter that we keep seeing in the making the articles and stuff, because we see her already, so that seems like she's going to have something to do with this expansion. But the reason why I think it's an adventure mode and not a major expansion is the fact that things are going to rotate around this next standard, and with that is going to be kind of when the season starts for HCT. And I think they're going to want to start that with a major expansion. So I think we're going to see that in the early year of 2017. And it makes sense to me to have a major expansion at the beginning of the year and then have two smaller expansions, adventure mode types at the end, of the year. So just major expansion, then a little expansion, then a little expansion. And then at the beginning of the year, again, you got major expansion, low expansion, low expansion. That's very similar to how Magic the Gathering does it. And I think Blizzard might be taking on that same kind of idea. So I'm going to say adventure mode. There's obviously something around Gadgetzan instead of a super major, 100 plus card expansion set. I think we're going to see anywhere between 40 to 60 cards.
Okay. So kind of a medium style there. Yep. Kevin, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, okay, so JR's point about the way that things are going to revolve around HCT in 2017 is very accurate, right? Blizzard has to really rethink their card release cycle. They have to plan all of that. They have to nail down a schedule. We were looking at this a little bit and talking about it a while ago before we recorded about how they need to sort of nail down their release cycle. And at this point, it sort of feels like it's April, August, November, right? Boom, boom, boom. They've kind of got that. The last, if this expansion that's coming up comes out in November of 2016, then in all of 15 and all of 16, their release cycle was actually exactly that, right? It's bang on. It's narrowed down to a period of you're going to get the expansion within this rough 2 to 3 week time frame in that particular part of the year. So they do have a pretty consistent schedule. They're moving, right? I think HCT to mirror the release schedule and not the other way around. So given that, JR's right, if they leave standard working the way it does right now, they need a big expansion in the spring, in April, because they need for there to be enough depth in the card pool that we're not just playing with the basic and classic set plus 40 cards. That would be awful. It would be tiny in terms of a card pool and probably not a lot of fun. Having said that, I don't think that means that they're locked into smaller expansions late in the year. I don't think that's necessarily how this needs to work. If anything, I think historically the big card sets are better for Blizzard, right? People come back and they play more with them. It takes the meta longer to be solved and stabilize. The larger card pool means way more card packs are sold. There's way more money getting thrown around. I would actually be shocked if it wasn't a real expansion. And frankly, this is the time, right? If you look back at how they've done things in previous years, the tail end of the year, kind of the late expansions, now that they know that standard rotation is going to be a thing, is where they get a little more aggressive and they try some cool stuff because they know it's going to have the least effect on the game, right? They didn't add Reno Jackson to the game early in a year in a place where they knew that it was going to end up mattering for an entire standard rotation, right? They put it in League of Explorers, where it only kind of matters for that year and change, right? Year and 5 months or whatever. And we did. We saw a lot of new mechanics, right? We saw a lot of stuff that got added in League that was really cool and not really safe. They were really experimental with those cards. I think it's going to be the other way around. Like, I think Blizzard is going to come into this and they're going to be looking to talk new features. They're going to be looking to get people excited about the future of Hearthstone and amped up for HCT 2017. I don't think we're at a point where they're talking about like, oh, we're going to add monks to Hearthstone. But I think you're going to see like major new cards, major new mechanics. Wouldn't be shocked to see a new tribe. Like, I think this is a really great time for them to be a little more aggressive and do more with the game, not less, because you don't want to create the impression that your later sets are lame duck sets because they don't matter as much in the context of your professional circuit.
Okay. All right. I get where, I think you both bring up great points. JR, you're definitely right. Like, a smaller thing going forward makes sense here and now. Kevin, I think you make a great point that it doesn't necessarily need to be that way. And also that the full-blown expansions are definitely seem to be more lucrative from a cash money standpoint. By cash money, I mean
cash.
Yep, that was me back in the day. Little John pre-puberty.
You hit puberty since then, yeah.
I know, yeah, right? Or I just found a way to tune this mic a little bit lower. So I'm struggling with this a lot. So I've been thinking about it a lot. And how many cards a year do you think makes sense to have for a standard rotation? Like, how many new cards? Like, about 200? Does that sound about right? Like,
that's a hard question to answer, because it could be anything, right? They could do a lot more and they could add way more cards and we would play with less of the basic and classic sets. They could be trying to keep it constrained so that new players don't feel they have to learn so many cards or acquire so many new cards. Like, that's a design decision that we're not privy to. We don't know if they'd like to see more variants in the
past, right? About 200 a year.
No, it's more than that, because you get an expansion like Old Gods was what, 140, and then we got another 45 with One Night in Karazhan, and we've got a whole other expansion yet. So traditionally, you would get two expansions and an adventure mode or two adventure modes,
it's
and
like
an expansion.
220, 230.
Yeah, so like for last year, for example, right? You got Blackrock Mountain, TGT and League of Explorers, which comes out to a combined total of like 240 cards, okay. Ballpark.
So like 240-ish. Okay. So
just to give a quick like number, Old Gods was 134 and League of Explorers was 45. So that gives you an idea of a big expansion versus adventure mode.
Got it. So we'll say somewhere between like 220 and 270, we'll say. So we'll kind of have a nice little delta there. So knowing that is how many new cards that we are getting, I think it's kind of interesting. I kind of like the idea, just conceptually, of one expansion and two adventures, because I think adventures provide such great content for a huge amount of people. And I think that's one of the special things in Hearthstone besides that you can actually do, and you don't have to play anybody else to do it. And I think that's great content. Like, going through all those adventures are really great. At the same time, I don't know that I see I think expansions, Kevin, to your point, I think this is going to sound bold. I think they're a little bit easier to develop from the sense of there's a lot more cards. Not every card's going to be a home run, and you're not running that, developing that PvE content as well. I think they make more money. I think it's easier to shift a meta with a larger card pool. Although if TGT taught us anything, it doesn't mean that's actually true. So it's tough. I actually do think it's going to be an adventure. I don't think it's going to be an expansion. The question is, I don't think they want to phase out that many cards at the end of next year. But it's tough.
Like, well, the biggest thing for me is if they do a major expansion this time, then I feel like they need to do a major expansion on the next one too. And I don't know, they could very possibly do that, and that would be okay.
Yeah, so this is the point. Like, all three of us, I think, are in agreement here that because Blizzard is trying to shift the model a little bit to be specifically better for the competitive scene, for HCT in particular, either way, this creates a situation where in order to sustain Standard, for the first time, they have to switch from alternating between expansions and adventures. If it's an adventure, for the first time, we're getting two adventures in a row. If it's not, to JR's point, and I think he's right, they would probably have to do two major expansions in a row. Either way, whether it's this set or the next set in the spring, they have to depart from the traditional alternating release cycle. We're all in agreement on that, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. I think, I can't remember, Blizzard is, I feel like they've done a lot more to tease adventures than they have expansions. I'm just trying to think back to like TGT. We got like the sword and the snow and some of the other stuff.
So much stuff though for Old Gods. Leading up to Old Gods, we had all the stuff that was all over the world that was very
forgetting that Old Gods
need to be available. Like,
yeah, you're right. I keep forgetting that Old Gods wasn't an adventure. It feels like an adventure to me. So I don't know why. So, okay, so new expansion for sure. We've got that down. Expansion/adventure. Something themed around Gadget Sand. That's definitely not the most bold prediction you've heard on WellMet, no. But it is.
Not in the slightest.
It's a safe one for sure. Let's talk about other things that we might see. Do you guys think we're going to see new features?
I hope so.
What are we going to see?
I hope to see a replay mode, and I hope to see a better spectator mode, but I don't think those will be the really big things, and I'm not sure if that's what we will see either. If we see anything, it's going to have to be stuff that's going to get people excited to play this next year. Like, a rework to ranked, I think, will possibly be talked about at BlizzCon. And I think there's a very high possibility of that. Ben Brode has even said on Reddit and things like that, that's something that they are talking about constantly, is they don't think that the ranked play right now is in the right spot and it needs to be fixed. And I'm hoping that we start seeing the beginning of that revealed at BlizzCon. Like, it may not be announced with this new set, but we might be starting to hear what they might be looking at bringing out when Standard cycles. And sure. I think that's going to be the big thing that we might, like, of all the high possibilities, I think that's at my top of what we'll hear about.
Sure. Something that I think that we have to see this year is I agree with you. I think we're going to see a rework to either ranked or arena. I don't think we'll see both, but I think that one of those.
I think we'll see both in the next year.
I absolutely agree with you. I would totally agree that we see both in the next year. I think they allude to or totally announce one, but I couldn't tell you which one. But I know that both of those are being called for a pretty significant rework or revisit, and so I think we're going to see that. I think we might see a more traditional. I think they might swing the pendulum back to the like gold, silver, platinum type thing. But I think they might try to do it in a better and different way, where it wasn't like, you know, 3-star grandmaster meant next
everybody,
to nothing.
Everybody had it, and right. So it didn't matter.
Right. I don't think we'll see quite to that level, at least until we get like a tournament mode where the ladder no longer is this uber competitive part of Hearthstone. It's the stuff you can do in client on tournament mode. Come on, tournament mode. Come on. But that's what I would guess. That's what I would guess beyond that. Kev?
All right. So I think this is actually pretty easy to call because fundamentally, I do not believe that the Hearthstone team is in a place right now, given everything else they're trying to do, given working on improving their production for esports, given that they're trying to get aligned with this consistent content release schedule. And it's still a very lean team. Like, bottom line, it's not a big group of people, right? I do not think you're going to see a whole bunch of new hard game features. We're not going to get a tournament mode. We're not going to get an updated spectator mode, as much as the game frankly needs one in order to sustain a good esports scene in 2017. I think those are big projects that require massive scaled development. John, you're losing your mind at me. What?
Sorry, pause. Can we talk about how frustrating it's been this week with some of the spectator mode glitches?
Spectator mode in this game is a challenge, and it does make viewing the esports scene a real problem, and they know that. They're very much aware of it.
Okay, that's the stuff all I wanted that, like, to say.
The stuff that ESL is like kludging together to make it work is not a fair representation of the game.
The it's unflipped Hearthstone card? Like, come on. The one where I thought it was like an actual feature. I thought they were actually doing something to build the suspense where a card would come off the deck and you'd see the back of it and it wouldn't flip over. And like the casters be like, oh, what is it? You know, they need a swipe or they're done. And it's like, broom, and they don't show it. Like, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then you're like, wait, they're still not showing it. And now we're a turn and a half ahead.
Discover sucks to look at in spectator mode. Secrets suck to look at in spectator mode. You can't tell how many cards people have left before fatigue. Like, it's ugly. And even the casters don't get access to that information, right? On the desk, they don't have it. And they're just trying to wing it as they go or remember or ask somebody to somebody mouse over that deck so we know how many cards this guy has left. Like, it's not pretty. And it does make the scene look a little bit amateur at times. But I think if they're going to do stuff, it's going to be stuff that's, for lack of a better term, is soft features, stuff that they can do within the existing game client. So it wouldn't be a big deal for them, I don't think, with the way the game works, to add or remove some ranks or to change how many stars you get as bonus stars at the start of a season, right? We talked like a year ago, maybe more, about having it be that people get more stars at the beginning of the month so that people who are in Legend maybe start at rank 10 instead of rank 16 or whatever.
It's like, there's been lots of one for sure.
For sure. There's these little things they can do, and I think that will be the direction they'll go in the short term. They're not going to be ready to release like a Hearthstone 2.0 massive update because they've got to deal with all of these different ecosystems where they have clients running, and they don't likely have like a brand new spectating system ready to go because the whole game is still got to be run within Unity and run on an iPhone. Like, there's limitations that they're dealing with that they'll always be dealing with, but a soft rework to ranked or some tweaks to Arena, because they've been teasing forever the idea that they're going to mess with how rarity works and what that does to Arena. Like, I think those things are coming, and then systemic stuff, if we're actually going to get a tournament mode or if we're going to get like a new spectating experience, or like maybe they're going to make it so you can watch streams of tournaments in the client one day down the road within Battle.net. That stuff I think will actually exist outside of Hearthstone, and they're trying to push Battle.net as a system and a service. And so from the Hearthstone,
which I think is going to be the big news at BlizzCon this year, by
sure.
The way.
Yeah. But so I think the Hearthstone team specifically, they're going to say, you know, here's some tweaks to ranked play. Here's some tweaks to Arena. You know, here's little things that we're trying to do to make the game feel a little smoother, feel a little better, and make it so that you don't have as many bad experiences within the game as a player. But the idea that they're ready to announce a tournament mode within the game that will support HCT 2017, not a chance.
I agree.
Much as it's what I really want. Like,
that's what we,
if I get to make a
list, that's what we wanted. Like, that's what we thought Tavern Brawl was going to be.
Oh, sure. Like pipe dream world, right? We're going to get to BlizzCon next weekend and they're going to have tournament mode ready to go. A brand new spectating system that turns off a bunch of the unnecessary like game boards and animations and really focuses on the importance of the cards themselves. Information available to casters in real time.
They're going to separate the desktop and mobile platforms.
Exactly. Yeah. Updated statistics on the player profile where you open it up and you can see additional information about your win rates. And we're going to get none of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think we got to get out of here, guys. Is that all right?
I think you're right. I think it's time. Honestly, I got to go pack. We got to go to BlizzCon, boys.
Yes, it's time. The next time you hear from us will be from BlizzCon. We're so excited to be able to do that and hang out at BlizzCon. Oh, it was so much fun last year, and I think this year is going to just be even more fun. Last year, I definitely came as a spectator. This year, I feel like I'm coming as a participant, ready to participate in more of the events and things that I was more willing to spectate last year. So my first
BlizzCon was exactly the same way. I went, the first time I went was 2007, and the whole time I was like, I don't know what I'm allowed to do. I'm not sure if I should touch anything.
Yeah, so I'm really excited this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I actually have a mobile streaming rig. So if I ever get an evening where I want to stream some, or maybe we'll go back to the hotel room and do a little well-met stream during the day or something like that if we have time somewhere, some way, somehow. No promises, here's guys.
Promises. We'll track Yonk Fu down and we'll challenge him to a duel.
There we go. Anyways, yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, cool. I'm trying to get through housekeeping things really quick. One more time. Con Before the Storm. Kevin will be there 5:35. I will be there 8:30. I'll be there the whole time, but that's when we'll be on. You can see it in person at the Anaheim Hilton in the ballrooms. It'll be marked. I forget which one. I think it's Ballroom B and C or something like that. And then I'd also be streaming at alphageekradio.com. Make sure to tune in to Kevin casting the TESPA regional playoffs immediately after BlizzCon the following Monday. And of course, our BlizzPro BlizzCon meetup happening 6 p.m. on Friday evening between Halls B, or just outside Halls B and C. Did I get that right?
You got it.
That's correct.
All right, cool. That's gonna be it for us. Thanks to our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. We love you guys. Thank you so much. If you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/wellmedpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. Again, such cool stuff that we're doing with that Patreon, and I think it's just gonna get better here in November. And Patreon, Kev, what do we got going on with Patreon this week?
We are thrilled to have not one but two new patrons this week on Well Met. So big special thank yous this week to Steve R. and Craig S. for joining the Well Met family. Very excited to have you guys. And obviously, we've been talking a lot lately about what we can do with our Patreon and our patrons just to make it more interesting, more exciting for you guys. John hosted that really awesome Discord event with Ray. We're talking about more things that we can do to actually engage with you guys. Game nights, tournaments. We want to do this kind of stuff and just really have a chance to do more with you guys. As always, though, to make this work, we really need your feedback and your support. One, the show is entirely and exclusively supported by our fans. So if we're going to do more, everything you guys can do to help make that possible means the world to us. Two, you got to tell us. So email us, wellmet@blizzpro.com. Tweet us at wellmetpodcast. Send smoke signals up at BlizzCon, whatever you have to do. But tell us, what do you want for rewards?
Don't light fires at BlizzCon. Don't do that.
Any actual fires. WellMet does not endorse fires. Let us know what we can do that's going to be interesting for you guys. Let us know what you want to hear on the show. Let us know what kinds of community events you would participate in. That's how we're going to make sure that we do the best stuff that we can for you guys.
Yep. Awesome. Did we say that the new patrons this week? Did I miss that part?
He did.
Sorry. I'm zoning.
Say them again.
Same again. Just kidding. Steve R. and Craig S. I said it. All right. I feel good now. It's the thing. I'm sorry. All right. iTunes reviews. JR.
This, our relationship is failing.
Yeah.
It's
so we did have a couple new iTunes reviews this week. Thank you from See Me No More 89 and JKoff 77. I feel like those two are about 12 years apart. If the numbers are anything to go by.
I got you, Kev. I got you. We nailed that one. That was right on cue.
Perfect.
If you like the show, send us your 5-star reviews.
You guys don't like my jokes. And I don't blame you. Anyway, if you would like, if you'd like to leave an iTunes review, definitely head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone, and you know, click on the little podcast, find that, and then it should be Well Met right underneath there. Leave a little 5-star review, it helps us out a ton. And then I will mispronounce your name or make bad jokes, and then John pushes the boo button on me, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, and you don't have to leave a tiny little iTunes review. Leave a big one. I like the big ones.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Wow.
All right.
Well, let's get that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Shoutouts for the week. Let's do it. Kev, shoutouts.
Shoutouts. Wow. Okay. Number one, I do owe a special thank you to my sister Terry, her boyfriend Mike, for letting me use their home equipment tonight to record. Two, obviously, we've talked about it several times, but I will be casting the Collegiate Hearthstone Regionals right after BlizzCon. Three, I cannot stress enough, guys, I want to see as many of you as I can while we're down at BlizzCon. I fly in Tuesday morning. I'm in Anaheim in the LA area for like 10 days. Tweet me at Lack of Realism. Let us know where we can find you, where we can hang out. I'm going to try to stay glued to Twitter and keep providing updates on where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing. Every person I can meet that's why I go. I don't go because I want to sit and listen to them announce new Hearthstone features, because I can do that from the comfort of my living room. I don't go so that I can sit and watch the Hearthstone tournaments, because frankly, it's easier to do that from my hotel room on my virtual ticket. I go to BlizzCon to meet the people and hang out with all the people who love the games, who love the community. That's you guys. So come find me, say hi. Don't be afraid to just walk up and be like, dude, are you Kevin from Well Met? Because you're awful. Please stop. But whatever. Like, it would be perfect.
I would give you $5.
$5.
You have to videotape it though. We'll give you, we'll do like a giveaway. Just kidding. No, we're not going to do that. Be nice to Kev. Be nice to Kev. Be nice to people. Just be a good human.
And yeah, actually, you know what? On the back of that, sorry, I'm just one more thing. Like, BlizzCon's a great time for everybody, but it's a great time for everybody because it's such a good community of people. So be nice to everybody, be good to the other people who are at the event, you know, help people out where you can, be respectful, listen to the rules, wear deodorant, like make this a great experience for yourself and for everybody around you, because it's honestly the best week of my life every year. And it's great, like I said, because of the people, not the event itself, but because of the people who are there.
Awesome. I would totally agree and echo that. JR, shoutouts.
I have to piggyback on everything that Kevin said right there about BlizzCon. Definitely, if you see me there, come say hi, because don't be nervous, because I'm just some dude that is awkward myself. So just come up and say hi, and we'll talk awkwardly to each other, and it'll be fun. And yeah. Also join our Discord, because I'll be checking that out while at the show, posting some things on there. Make sure you follow me on Twitter and all that. And then if the Cubs finish winning this game right now, looks like it's going to the top of the ninth and they got the lead, we'll be watching baseball.
Sorry if anyone
Tuesday
was recording that. Dang.
At Anaheim. What?
Sorry if anyone was recording that one. There you go. Huge spoiler. Huge spoiler. Unbelievable.
Sports. Seriously, don't record sports. Look at it real time.
I give you 24 hours. For me, it's always 24-hour leeway. Anyways, as for me, you can find me streaming throughout the week at twitch.tv/kicktripod. I will be at Con Before the Storm. I will be at all the Well Played Party and Convert to Raid meetups, as well as the BlizzPro meetups. So I'll be there as well. And then Katie and I will be walking around. I'd love to say hi to as many of you who think that I'm actually Kevin, and then you realize, well, oh wait, no, you're John. And then they're like, never mind, walk away. I bet it happened a few times on my stream already. Hey Kev, I love you on Well Met. I'm like, oh, actually I'm John. I'm the John one.
This story is made up.
It's happened at least thrice, and two of them unfollowed after. So there you go. I'm not lying. I wouldn't make that up.
All right. I don't believe you.
Okay. I'm just telling you how it is. So you can find that out. Twitch.tv/kicktripod. That's where I am throughout the week. And I think I hit all the things. Yeah. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzbro, except next week, to get in on the conversation, and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is exclusively supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. And you can also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzpro.com. Let's see those Well Met t-shirts next week, guys. Special thanks to Jake Butno for our music and Scythe Designs for our graphic design. This has been episode number 84 of Well Met, and we'll see you guys again next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.
Cash.